episode something. I don't actually know where it is. Are we 140? Of Caithness Craft Collective. Oh no, my preparation skills are not good. Normal listeners, maybe you could tell, this is not a normal episode. So if you want one of them, go back a couple. This episode, I do have a couple of things. I'm going to talk about what's crack, Tartantastic, coming up, craft fair, shop, swap, competition winner, and yeah, that's it. You will hear a very racist Quattro in the background. I don't know what's wrong with him. Doesn't want out. I think he wants up for a cuddle. Quattro's the dog for new listeners. So hello to all listeners, new and old. I picked him up. You mean your own grinning. And the reason we have music going this episode is because Podbeam have done a app. So I'm recording this on my iPhone. I don't think I can edit it, so apologies for all umming and ahhing and stuff. Hopefully in time they'll update the app when you can do a little bit of rough editing. But there's a reason I'm doing this off the cuff. So I'll come to that in a second. But that's the country intro. You get country, division and good time. So here's a bit of division. Oh, I suppose we could have that for in the middle. Yeah, so because I'm not putting it down on the computer, I'm just going to upload it straight from my phone. I wouldn't be able to put in my the bearings telling you what segment it is. So, if I remember, I'll press the division button so you can have got a little bit of music and we can sound all professional. And good time is obviously the good time that you've had at the end by listening to me splaff on. So how are you all this week? Hopefully things are good and you're going to have a cracking first week of December. You're not all stressed coming up for... Oh, Quattro just jumped off. Coming up for Christmas and stuff and the millions of craft fairs that are leading up. That's... Oh, hold on. What's a crack? Here, I'm really professional at this. I think I'm on 140. You think I'd be better at this one by now, right? So, I've got the craft fair for the school on Saturday and I'm madly panicking about trying to finish everything for it. So, this is why I'm not doing a proper edited, scripted, with a blather, possibly with a drams, mum section, review of things, bona fide podcast. This is what I sound like when I'm just thinking in my head and it's coming out loud. So, being quite busy and I've done no knitting. Well, I've made a couple more gnomes and yeah, that's it. And I've actually only just today started listening to knitting podcasts. So I listened to the ones I'd lost. I'd gotten behind on with Paula of Knitting Pipeline the other day because I thought if I listen to it I'm going to want to knit and I just can't knit just now. So if you're a knitter and you're not interested in anything else, speak to you later. You may go. Hold on. There's your good time. There you go. You've had a little good time. So I thought I would just tell you, run through what I've actually been crafting. So technically I suppose this is the me section. There you go, division. I've cut out some background bits for making tea cosy for the Highland Coos. Because I thought, well, they might sell at the craft fair. I've also been to our Christmas in November, Caithness Quilters, Caithness Craft in the brain, Fundy, and it was absolutely smashing. And we made I think it's called a Moshi Toshi. Just 2 seconds. I'll tell you exactly. Shirley got this from a book, which I can't remember the name of. Christmas Tussy Mussy. And it's designed by Chris Malone. And it is, think of a poker chips that you get with your chips sticking out the top. Or an ice cream cone. And you make it with material. There's a tassel, a button, and a length of ribbon included. So we just sat and we all made them. It was a very nice day. best lunch of the year and the best puddings of the year. Turns out I'm not quite as allergic to almonds as I thought the past week. A few incidents with the old almonds. So that was good. Just get a really itchy mouth and that's it. So also I have made 1, 2, 3 slouch bags. One is got black watch tartan and blue velvet, navy blue velvet, and the inside is a floral cream Laura Ashley material. The other one is a dark red check tweed, and inside is pink with a geometric pink pattern. And the one I've just finished just now is a dark blue, I think it was a curtain material with a sort of embossed type of pattern on it, and inside is a very plain light blue fabric as a liner. So I've got 3 handbags. One I know have definitely sold. I've been making the gnomes. They're Corknese, and it's a pattern by Manny, which is M-A-N-N-E. It's a free pattern on Ravelry, and it's written in, I'm going to say Norwegian, but I might be wrong, and then translated through. It's not hard pattern at all, so I think the count was 22, possibly, gnomes, and I tried putting some, well, they all got googly eyes, and I used little googly eyes and slightly bigger googly eyes, and the slightly bigger googly eyes are cool. So we've got a mixture of red and white, green, and variegated. And it's a great way of using leftover scraps, so that was really nice. And then what else have I been making? Oh, I have some tartan. I've been making tartan bags for the shop, and paper trees for the craft fair. It doesn't seem like there's going to be very much. Oh, it does want out. Hold on, I'll see if I can pause this. I don't think I can, so I'm just going to have to keep talking to you. Lucky you. Hold on. Nope, it doesn't pause. Oh, hold on. Oh, I'm still in division. Right, hold on. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, bit random. Maybe I should stop and start again. So I was telling you what I've been making for the craft fair, and the other one was paper trees, which is old books, or say if you had sheet music, would be very cool. And you get a meat skewer, one of them wooden ones for the when you put on the barbecue, and you skewer the paper in decreasing sizes of squares of paper that you've cut out from old books, and then you put spray it gold with metallic paint, and then dribble it with glitter and put on a really nice decoration on the top with a bit of ribbon, and very nice tree is made. So I can give one of them for the raffle as well. Not very much, but enough to put on a small craft table, but it's the time it takes, listeners. So apologies if you were looking forward to a nicely edited, non-ummed, doggy-free podcast this episode. However, I do have Tartantastic ready for you. So, this episode, I'm going to talk about Frasers. Ooh, you Outlander people. Yes, the Fraser clan. It's the branch Fraser of Lovett. Tartans, Fraser, Fraser Hunting, Fraser Old, Fraser of Lovett, and Weathered Fraser. Mottos, all my hope is in God, and Lovett is Je suis prêt, French for I am ready. The slogans are Avor, Vor, Fichich. I normally practice these before I say them. This is Gaelic for the great field, and Castile Duny, which is Gaelic for Castle Duny. The first known Fraser in Scotland was Simon Fraser, who in about 1160 donated the church of Keith to Kelso Abbey. The name came from the lordship of La Fraselière in Anjou, and a descendant of Simon Fraser, Sir Gilbert Fraser. He established the main line of the family in about 1250 at Touche Fraser, Stirlingshire. His direct descendant do, excuse me, I sneezed. Alexander Fraser died 1332, was knighted by King Robert I, which is the Bruce, before the Battle of Bannockburn in 1314. After the battle, he married the Bruce's sister, Lady Mary, who had been strung up in a cage for 4 years by King Edward I of England, oh dear, in a reprisal for the Bruce coronation, and was later Chamberlain of Scotland. Their grandson gained the lands of Flyroth and Buchan by his marriage in 1345. Don't think that's how you say that. Philorth. Beg your pardon, people near Buchan. Sir Alexander Fraser, 1537 to 1623, 8th Laird of Philorth, founded Fraserburgh, the Broch, and would have founded Fraserburgh University too if the project had not run into difficulties. He also built Fraserburgh Castle, which his family found too drafty to live in. The 9th Laird married the daughter and heiress of Lord Sultan, their son succeeding the Sultan title, which is now also vested in the chiefship of Clan Fraser. The Frasers of Lovett are descended from Sir Alexander Fraser's younger brother Simon, who also fought at Bannockburn, and each chief of Clan Fraser of Lovett is known as Mac Shimi, which is son of Shimon? Son of Shimon. Simon, still doing it. Son of Simon. Simon says, Simon Fraser, 1667 to 1747, he was the 11th Lord Lovett, one of the more colourful characters in the history of the Highlands, well included in the book The Outlanders series. After his father had inherited the title of the 10th Lord of the death of his great-nephew, Simon tried to abduct the 9th Lord's 9-year-old daughter and heiress. Foiled in this, he married her mother by force. Not a very nice man. In the early 1700s, he regularly switched his allegiance between the government in Britain and the Jacobites in France, playing one side off against the other. During the rebellion of 1715, he appeared actively to support the government. In 1745, he waited to see which way things were going, then compromised by ordering his son to bring out the Frasers for Bonnie Prince Charlie. After the Battle of Culloden in 1746, he tried to escape, was captured, and at the ripe old age of 80... beheaded. And their main tartan is red with green, blue, and a thin white line. And then there's Old Fraser, which is, it has red in it with a slight green. And then there's Fraser of Lovett, which is very similar to the main Fraser but with bigger checks. And these are not the ones that you would see in Outlander. Because they're red, and obviously they were tromping around all the hills, so they were wearing a weathered Fraser. And they've got their logo here with a little staggy. So, there you go, Fraser fans. Where am I going to get my Division music? It's a problem when your iPhone goes to sleep. Just hold on. Coming up. Edinburgh Yarn Fest next year in March. And I am going, I've booked my hotel for me and mother, or mother and I, and we are going to stay at the Novo Hotel at Edinburgh Park, so it'd be cool if you guys did too. My retreat is coming up the end of May, and I found out the other day that the May 10K is going to be on the Sunday, so I am going to be running the May 10K. So technically the retreat will finish at 10 and the run doesn't start till 2. So unlike last year, well, I was available for everybody to, well, need help or whatever, I'll have to empty the chalet and then go run. You guys could all come run too. I think that would be great. Or you, if you're about, you can come and cheer us on. Or, well, it's there if you're a runner. If you're interested in going to the retreat, please note your interest on my Ravelry board, and then I'll have an idea of numbers. And I was chasing up Natural Retreats, who have still never given me the price. So I will be chasing them up further this week. But once you actually paid them, he's trying to get them to pay them. That's the problem. But it won't be extraordinarily expensive, and if you fancy coming up and spending some quality time up in the north of Scotland and seeing some of the historic sites of John O'Groats, because let's face it, we'll be looking doing a lot of knitting. Plan your time up here around it though, and then do go off and visit all the other areas. Last year